Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. You may have felt it already, the emails and ads touting amazing deals, the jingling of holiday music filling the stores. Well, ready or not, the holiday shopping season is here, and it's time to make your list and check it twice because stores are going to be working very hard to win a piece of your holiday budget this year. Deals that were reserved for brave Black Friday shoppers are now flooding early November. Even Turkey Day isn't safe as more and more stores open their doors at sunrise for Thanksgiving Day shoppers. This hour on Point, we'll look at the retail outlook and smart strategies for the 2013 holiday season. You can join us on air or online. Are you ready for the hustle and bustle of holiday season shopping? Has it come way too soon? Are you willing to go out on Thanksgiving to get the best deals? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Later this hour, we'll be speaking to two retail experts about their retail outlook online and in stores this holiday season. But first, joining me now from New York City is Susan Burfield, associate editor at Bloomberg Businessweek. She's had a very close eye on this year's shopping season and what shops are doing to snag your business. Susan, welcome to On Point.
Thanks very much. Happy to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. A lot of people think of the shopping season traditionally, or at least mentally, starting on the day after Thanksgiving, but not this year. Tell us what the buzz is all about.
That's right. You know, I think, shopping is a big part of American culture, as we know. You know, think that's a good thing or bad thing, but it is. And retailers are competing for shoppers' attention and money. And like a lot of things, they are competing in a more extreme way, and shoppers are too.
Competing in a more extreme way for sure. Here's Kmart. They're getting an early start on advertising this year, too. They're running their first ads. They ran their first ads over 100 days before Christmas in early September to remind shoppers to get started early.
Don't let the holidays sneak up on you. Shop early with Kmart free layaway. And even Shop Your Way member-priced items can be put on layaway. Kmart. Get in, get more Christmas.
So there's Kmart. Costco had holiday decorations in full swing in August. Mm-hmm. Kohl's and Lowe's started selling Christmas trees in September. I mean, give us a sense here, Susan, of the early holiday push and how it compares to years past.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would say for the past couple of years, the kind of creep, you know, earlier began, but this year it is much more widespread. Mm-hmm. You know, as you mentioned, not just the ads and the layaway programs, but on Thanksgiving Day itself, you know, Kmart will be opening at 6 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
and then they will stay open for 41 hours.
41 hours.
Yeah, so it's like an endurance contest, you know, for everybody. they're the earliest, but a lot of other stores that haven't opened, you know, either until midnight until early in the morning on Friday are opening on Thanksgiving. You know, Toys R Us will be open at 5. Best Buy will be open at 6. Macy's, for the first time ever, will be open at 8. Hmm. You know, and then once one store does it, you know, the competitors do it. So Macy's opened early, then JCPenney's opened early, Kohl's opened early.
Right. Sears the domino
early.
Effect. Right, right.
Yeah,
so is it just
people go by.
Right. Is it just trying to keep up? If they open, I've got to open and I'm going to miss out if I don't get in?
Yeah, and especially, you know, if you think about it, some of these stores are in malls and they're in the same malls.
Right.
And so if people are coming in there and they're walking by, you know, a darkened entranceway, that, you know, is not sending a good signal.
So here's some of those Kmart shoppers you were talking about. Kmart's extended holiday schedule this Thanksgiving has drawn negative criticism somewhat, but not everybody is bothered. Here's one shopper telling the local TV station there that she's looking forward to the extra shopping time in Kansas City.
My plans are to actually probably go out a little bit. I probably will now that I know that Kmart is open.
And here's another shopper, Lee Gallison, saying that, supports Black Friday's 41-hour shopping bonanza starting Thanksgiving morning.
That's just crazy. People have Thanksgiving dinner sometimes late in the afternoon, and now you can't because people have to go to work and go shopping. It's like that became more important than being home with your family having a dinner.
So I'm reading research here, Susan Burfield, from Bloomberg, that says 32 million Americans alter their Thanksgiving plans in order to participate in the early opening frenzy. Many report rushing through their turkey, eating it earlier than usual, or skipping it entirely to get to the stores. So does this early sales translate to more revenue, or is it just more evenly distributed over the season?
Right. That's a good question. You know, I mean, sales overall go up every year, but that's mostly because there's, you know, the population is rising. There's more people shopping. I mean, this year, the National Retail Federation, and that's the group that represents retailers, generally a very optimistic group, but they are forecasting that per person, people will be spending 2% less. Now, that's still over $700 per person, but it's going down. So, you know, I think that's why these stores are competing so ferociously with discounts, you know, with being open when, you know, whenever they can be. And shoppers are used to being able to buy things when they want, and stores have to give them that now. Of course, right, for the employees, it may not be the best situation, but from the store's perspective, they can't not be ready for shoppers.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about online retailers in a minute, but talk about the brick and mortar and some of the more outrageous ploys beyond opening at 6 o'clock in the morning. What are some of the more outrageous ploys you've seen to get early foot traffic this year?
Well, you know, I think it's really the discounts themselves. I mean, that is what motivates most shoppers, and especially the ones that go out, you know, at 6 a.m. on Thanksgiving.
Right.
And, you know, mostly we're talking about kind of the big box retailers, you know, Kohl's, Walmart, Target, JCPenney, Macy's, and, you know, the kind of mid-price ones. You know, we're not talking about Neiman Marcus, not talking about Saks here. So these are discount shoppers. You know, they are well trained during the year, and this is kind of the big, you know, Olympics for them. So they need, you know, they don't need that much encouragement, right? They just need to think that they're getting good deals. And it's the sport of it in a way. You know, as we've seen, sometimes it turns into a contact sport, but generally, you know, it's considered recreation for a lot of people. Now, that said, you know, certain stores are doing some things. I mean, Old Navy, for the first time, is offering a $1 million giveaway. So for the
$1 million giveaway for what?
Yeah, for being a good shopper. No, for the first 500 people in line in each of their stores.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, their name are entered into a sweepstakes. They'll pick one person. I think they're calling it, you know, overnight millionaire. So that could be incentive for some people. You know, Walmart typically, and this year as well, staggers its sales. So, you know, they have these kind of door busters, whatever you want to call them. So they stagger them through the evening to kind of keep people coming in the stores or staying in the stores. You know, I think it's anything that stores can do to keep people in there and then, you know, to make them buy a little bit more than they might have planned to.
Well, Susan Burfield is associate editor at Bloomberg Businessweek. She's speaking to us from New York City. Susan, thank you, and stay safe out there.
Thank you very much.
Joining me now from New York as well is Wendy Liebman, CEO and chief shopper at WSL Strategic Retail, a research group that's worked with companies to understand what consumers want and how they shop. Wendy, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me.
Well, your company pays close attention to consumers. We heard a little bit about what consumers might be spending this year from Susan, but give us your sense of the holiday budget, what it looks like for the average American shopper in 2013.
You know, it's pretty static now, Jane. There's not a lot of extra money in anybody's pocket or wallets or under the couches at the moment. So people are being fairly cautious about what they're spending, making their lists, as you said, and definitely checking them twice.
You know, another element of this early shopping season is the fact that Hanukkah begins on Thanksgiving Day this year. My kids tell me it's called Thanksgivica. They're friends at school, but it's pretty early and it's pretty rare for the calendar, isn't it?
It is indeed. And while Hanukkah isn't a gigantic holiday, there are many days in it. So you're encouraged to buy something every day for a gift. So that doesn't go away. But the fact that it falls on top of Thanksgiving means that's an impact in terms of when I'm eating, how much food I'm buying. And, you know, this sort of merging of two holidays is always a challenge. And I don't know, it's been a long time since that's happened, if ever, that I can remember.
Right. So here's some sound of the general manager of a mall in Garden City, in New York, talking about how the overlap of these two holidays, Thanksgiving and Hanukkah, means great deals for early shoppers.
There are a lot of great discounts going on now because of the fact that Hanukkah does fall before Thanksgiving.
So, Wendy Liebman, is this going to impact foot traffic in stores opening really early morning, 6 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day?
Well, I think it just gives people another reason to get out if they're those kinds of discount shoppers. You know, the Hanukkah holiday season isn't necessarily as effusive as the Christmas season, and it's usually shorter. So everybody's looking for reasons to get out and get it done, and I think that's what you heard Susan say.
So year to year, do you think projections generally hold for the amount of money that people spend? Do people stick to their holiday shopping plans, generally speaking?
You know, they've been better at sticking to their plans over the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, since, heaven, we mentioned the name, the global economic crisis, that's certainly had a big impact on people sticking to their lists. But what you do see is that people keep that little bit extra to the side just in case there's something they absolutely cannot miss or cannot give up. But in general, over these last 3 or 4 years, people have been much better at sticking to their lists.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're looking at the 2013 holiday shopping season this hour. What's big, what's not, and what stores are doing to catch your attention in a big way. This year, Best Buy is rolling out holiday ads featuring stars like Will Arnett, LL Cool J, and Maya Rudolph to spread the word about their ultimate holiday shopping showdown. Here's Maya Rudolph sharing how, thanks to Best Buy, Judy found something for everyone on her list.
Now her nieces and nephews have holiday treasure. They'll be like, yo, Aunt Jids, you're like the best auntie ever.
Great gifts like the LG G2 in your ultimate holiday showroom. Best Buy.
Ads like that coming out earlier and earlier this year. With me this hour, Wendy Liebman, CEO and chief shopper at WSL Strategic Retail. And joining me now from Charlotte, North Carolina, is Sucharita Malpuro, vice president and principal analyst serving e-business and channel strategic professionals at the Forrester Research Group. She keeps a close eye on the world of online commerce, shopping trends, and consumer behavior. Sucharita, welcome to On Point.
Thanks for having me, Jane.
So how much of what consumers spend are online purchases?
Well, it's certainly an increasing percent every year. Right now, our holiday forecast is that about somewhere between 10 and 15% of all of holiday sales are going to happen online. That's even disproportionately higher than the average percent for the rest of the year. For Q1 to Q3, we usually will see somewhere between probably 8 and 10% of transactions happening online. So we're actually going to see in Q4, as we've been seeing for the last several years, more people spending more of their wallet share with stores like Amazon.com or Zappos.com, or even the web divisions of these bricks and mortar retailers like BestBuy.com.
So how and when do most people use online retailers during the holiday season?
Well, there is a universal set of three reasons that all people shop online, and it's convenience, selection, and value. And all three of those get more compounded during the holiday season because people consistently tell us they don't like to have to fight with the crowds. They don't like to have to struggle to find parking. They want to find great values, and you can often find phenomenal values online. Often the web is the best channel to find the cheapest version of any product that you're looking for the most part. I mean, you'll have, there's the new phenomenon called showrooming, where people will use their cell phone to research products and ultimately to see what they want to buy and then ultimately complete the transaction on a website, because that's where they can find better value. And from a selection standpoint, you know, if there's a color that isn't in a store or a size that you're looking for that's not available, the chances are that you can find it online.
Are there certain products that do better online, that people are more willing to buy online?
You know, Jane, in the past, we would have said that, you know, it's the categories like consumer electronics and computer hardware, software. Yeah, yeah. Those are the ones that really skew. But now the web is so ubiquitous that every single category is now penetrated at a level that's at least 5%, in many cases, double digits. The only categories that I would say are really holdouts from the web at this point are categories like furniture, where people continue to purchase those categories in stores, even though that's continuing to grow online as well. So, you know, there is no category that is immune to the influence of web retail, I would say, at this point.
Wendy Liebman, is there anything that woos customers away from the ease of shopping on the couch, 24-hour cyber shopping? What brings customers into the brick-and-mortar stores these days?
I think around the holiday season, you know, there's this wonderful theoretical image dream of what holidays are all about. And that's a very, that's a highly emotive season. So it is about families together. It is about the smells, the sounds. So people think about traditional bricks as a place to absorb all of that and share all of that. Now, the truth of the matter is they get in there, of course, and sometimes stuff is out of stock and there are people jamming the aisles and there's no help and all of those things. But emotionally, that's the benefit that traditional retailers or traditional forms of selling still have today.
What's your sense of how consumers are feeling about this early start? You know, I know we'll hear a lot from many of them this hour, but are they relishing this extra time? Ads running in September and October, are they panicking sort of about the early arrival of this season? Sucharita?
Well, I think that this is an interesting holiday season because this is one of the first times in many years that December 1 actually falls into the Thanksgiving weekend. So it's a later Thanksgiving than usual. But, you know, I mean, there are two segments of shoppers I would characterize, you know, during the holiday season. There are the ones that just love deals and they just want more deals. The more the merrier, and they're thrilled to have all of that option to purchase, and the earlier the better for them. And those are consumers that, in many ways, they're not even really buying as gifts. They're often buying for themselves. They've delayed gratification, so to speak, for the rest of the year because they're waiting for the great deals now. So, you know, if things start as early as October or even earlier, they're happy with it because this just gives them that many more opportunities to, you know, to kind of research and buy that espresso machine that they had at the backs of their at the back of their minds, or a vacuum cleaner or whatever that is on their list. And then there's the segment of shoppers that get stressed about this. And, you know, and that's actually not that large of a percent of consumers, but they are the ones that do tend to be vocal, and they often will report their frustration about, you know, how dare somebody, you know, kind of violate these sacred holidays in these commercial ways. But for the most part, I mean, Americans love deals. They love to shop. That's reflected in all of our numbers. And I think that first group far outweighs the second.
Let's hear from a shopper and listener in New Orleans, Louisiana. Meg is on the line. Hi, Meg. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, here in New Orleans, the tradition on Thanksgiving is to actually go to the racetrack
okay.
in the morning, which is pretty rad. But I just wanted to say that I kind of fall into that category of the anti-consumer shopper. But Thanksgiving being the one national holiday that is not consumer-based, is not religion-based, is family, food. And I think the real tragedy in this situation isn't the people who decide to get up at 6 in the morning and go to Macy's, but the people who have to get up at 5 and be at work. The people who would rather choose to be with their family and can't. They have to go to work. There's signs all around that say no days off will be allowed. And personally, I think it's just pretty disgusting that these giant employers are going to take away a family holiday just to put everyone to work.
Meg, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. It's a really good point. Let's go to another listener in Nashville, Tennessee. William is on the line. Hi, William. Welcome to On Point. Go ahead.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Yeah, I was just kind of piggybacking off of the last caller. I'm just wondering what's done by retailers to compensate these people who have to wake up so the rest of us can go shopping at 6 a.m. on a Thanksgiving day. Is there anything other than time and a half that they do for their employees?
Right. William, good question. Wendy, do you know? Wendy Liebman?
You know, it depends very selectively on the retailer. The only thing I have heard over the last couple of years is, you know, meals, break times, things like that. But for the most part, the retailers are trying to keep their staff on the floor, keep them employed, and keep the doors open, which is pretty pragmatic, I guess. There's not much of that holiday spirit in the stores except for the people who are spending their money.
What do you both make of the news this week that the United States Postal Service has struck a deal with the online retailer Amazon.com to deliver the company's packages on Sundays? How will that impact holiday shopping and delivery this year? Sucharita?
Yeah, it's a fascinating development. I mean, Amazon is just such an interesting player in the entire retail landscape. And a significant part of what we're seeing here, like, for instance, the earlier opening of stores on Thanksgiving, the craziness of the promotions that happen earlier and earlier. A lot of this, especially from big box retailers, is a direct response to the threat of Amazon.com. And Amazon continues to basically squeeze the necks of retailers tighter and tighter with every single major activity and announcement that they make. And I think this is another big one where they continue to be incredibly customer-centric. The company is obsessed with the customer. They want to make shoppers happy. And they do that on so many levels. They have great prices. They have vast selection. They over-deliver on their promise of when they're often going to have packages arrive. And this new prospect of having packages actually be delivered on a Sunday and to not charge shoppers for those packages is incredibly customer-centric. But there's another major debate brewing in the retail sector, which is that Amazon continues to be, if not unprofitable, barely profitable, less profitable than retailers like Walmart or even Target or Costco. And this is yet another action that they're taking, which is incredibly unprofitable. But it's essentially the shareholders that continue to essentially allow this to continue to happen.
Hmm. Wendy Liebman, what about the online sales tax that has been implemented in many states just very recently?
You know, I think all these things have some bearing in terms of the overall price, the value proposition that Sucharita was talking about before. I think that one of the things that Amazon's done, which has been, you know, quite extraordinary, is absolutely right. They keep changing the game. So with the sales tax, it makes them a little more competitive with the other retailers. But the fact of the matter is the other retailers are going to have to continue to create a value proposition, an experience, whether it's online or in store, that encourages people to say, yeah, Amazon's great and I love them sometime, but you know, there is still a really fundamental reason to come to my other retailers. Mm. If they keep trying to challenge Amazon in Amazon's court, if you will, they're just not going to win that battle. It's kind of like Walmart was, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Mm. Wendy and Sucharita, walk me through a couple of the categories this year. What about apparel? It's been sort of a lukewarm year thus far for apparel, has it not?
It yeah, has. I would. And,
sorry, Wendy, do you want to go first? Go ahead, Wendy.
Sure. It has. Accessories continue to be the area in the sort of fashion mix that do better. I must say I was in the malls about a month ago looking at some of the fall clothes at high and low end price points. And really, I said to myself at the time, I, chief shopper, who is always willing to buy something, as I looked, there was very little incentive regardless of price in terms of apparel. And so I think that that's one of the really big issues this year. Will people just be buying what they need to have, which is kind of replenishment of, you know, coats or shoes or things that they've been putting off for a while? Will they stick to the accessory area, boots, shoes, handbags, and leave anything that's sort of fabric-like on a hanger sitting there? And that really is a big worry for this holiday season.
What about toys, Sucharita?
Yeah, it's and I think that Susan had a good point earlier. There was the NRF stats on, you know, kind of data being flat. And, you know, but what we know is that probably the big story in toys this year is the game consoles. There we have the PS4, Sony's new PlayStation and Microsoft's new Xbox, both coming out this year. These are very hotly anticipated releases. And just to give you a sense, I mean, so first of all, in the toy industry, really the toy industry is about the electronics sector at this point. Those are the hot toys. Those are the drivers of traffic to the store. But just to give you a sense of some of the numbers that we're talking about and why I think companies like Best Buy and GameStop, you know, kind of have a little bit longer of a lease on life due to, you know, what's going to happen with these guys, is that these devices have sold in their previous iterations, like the PS3 and, you know, kind of the Xbox 360, tens of millions of units, somewhere between 80 and 100 million units. Mm-hmm. That equates to tens of billions of dollars, right. Not even counting. That's just on the consoles. That's not counting the accessories and the buyer protection plans and the games themselves, which add additional value to retailers. So even though this Thanksgiving is a little bit later, even though numbers are flat for what consumers expect to spend, the wallet share is going to shift to these gaming consoles. It's going to shift to Apple devices, which consistently do well during Q4. You know, the number of tablet activations is just enormous, usually in that week right after Christmas. That's when apps get their biggest spike in downloads.
Right. Wendy, let me ask you, Wendy, about home improvement items. Actually, here's a clip from Home Depot's holiday commercials saying this year it's time to go big on home improvement.
Let's decorate. Now, let's dominate. Let's throw Christmas a curveball. Let's do fresh and wow. And never seen that before. Let's do 100 count, make it 1,000. Let's get the season going.
Another early commercial there from Home Depot. Wendy Liebman, what about appliances, home improvement items?
Well, that's an area where that people have been putting off for a while during the recession. And so as we've now begun to see, you know, home starts, housing starts, the housing market improve a little bit, people are beginning to say, I need to replace some of these things. And so that sort of falls into the need rather than want bucket, if you will, or a list for the holidays. But you know, we are hearing shoppers talk about those kind of family gifts that are more necessities than anything else. And it's the first time in a while we've seen those pop up the list ahead of, you know, flat screen televisions and things like that.
Hmm. Here's a call from Mike in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hi, Mike. Glad you waited. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Basically, I was work in the food service industry in a mall, and I think it's kind of sick that they're making us work on Thanksgiving. We were given the option by the owner of the franchise, stating, you know, he said, you know, you guys can take the choice, and without the manager bringing it up, just automatically said, yeah, we're opening at 5 p.m., or we need to be there at 5 p.m., we're opening at 7 p.m. Thanksgiving, not even bringing it up to the employees or asking at all. And the other store was told that, from the other two managers, they were told, guess what, you're going to open too, although she didn't want to open until midnight.
So
I predicted within the next 10 years, we're going to be working every Christmas Eve, and 20 years, we'll probably be working for half of Christmas Day to ensure that people get everything they need.
Mike, thank you. There's a flip side to all this holiday cheer for sure. Here's Natalie in Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, Natalie, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I just like to say that working as a retail manager for a few years, it's really about the camaraderie of the people that you work with that makes coming in, you know, having to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and coming in to help all these consumers get what they need, you know, makes it a fun experience. It's the people that you're working with, not so much the people that you work for. The corporations and the company that you work for do not do extra compensation. There's no time and a half at the place that I worked at. And, you know, if it wasn't for the, you know, people that, you know, making you convince yourself that it's going to be a fun, you know, good time, and knowing that everybody that's coming in is going to be kind of cranky and tired, and just kind of killing them with kindness and making the best for it and pushing it to be this early in the year actually helps the people who do work in retail get their Christmas shopping and everything done faster as well.
That's another way to look at it. Natalie, thank you very much. Good luck to you. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. More after this break. This is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. We're looking at the 2013 holiday shopping season, and you can join the conversation. For many people, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade kicks off the holiday festivities. Here's a little sound from the ribbon cutting at the start of the 87th annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City. This is from last year.
Live from New York City, NBC presents Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
And here we go. With us this hour are Wendy Liebman, CEO and chief shopper for WSL Strategic Retail, and Sucharita Malpuru, a VP and principal analyst serving e-business and channel strategy professionals at Forrester Research. Sucharita, what's your recommendation for consumers who want to make their holiday budget really stretch this year?
Well, it's something that I know that bricks and mortar retailers cringe at, but it really is the research that you can do online, either in stores or even before you go to complete a purchase. There are all kinds of apps that allow you to scan barcodes, like Red Laser, that can give you a list of, you know, kind of what other stores are selling that product and are they available for less. There are comparison shopping engines like ShopZilla and Price Grabber that let you do the same thing, where you can type in an item and see where it's available and if it's available cheaper somewhere else. There are store apps too. There are companies like there's a company called Zoomingo that lets you actually browse through photographs at your local mall. So you can see, you know, if there is a mall nearby, and you can get a sense of what are all the offers that are available and the products as well as the prices that they're available for. So I think that for anyone who wants to do some pre-shopping, the web, and in particular, a lot of these phone and tablet apps present some great opportunities to help you make that shopping experience a little more efficient.
And Wendy Liebman, are stores that have a wider range of items that can be sort of a one-stop shopping for customers that are not going online per se, that like the shopping experience, are those stores going to win out over the online operation? And our specialty shops, can they still compete this year?
You know, I think the big message is it's not our either or anymore. I think the traditional bricks retailers, most of them, all of them, have their own websites now. And it really is this whole notion for a shopper of being able to use both, and for the retailer to be able to offer both. So, yeah, absolutely, there's an advantage if I can get a lot done under one proverbial roof, but that roof could be a virtual roof. It doesn't have to be the store. So it could be Macy's or it could be Macy's.com. And it really is up to the retailers to be very smart about the way they use both those vehicles to get shoppers engaged early in the piece. And there are so many things that really they can do. They don't have to give up to the notion of showrooming unless showrooming is part of their own offer. You know, they can establish, you know, not everybody is looking for the lowest price on everything. It depends on what that thing is. So I think for shoppers who make their list and think about where it's really worth them spending time doing homework, then that's great. But there are other things that traditional retailers and even the online retailers can do, grouping things in price points, solution-based offers, you know, mm-hmm. things for men, mm-hmm. things for kids, that kind of thing that really makes shopping easier over this pretty stressy season.
Stressy season is right. Here's Houston, Texas. Tammy on the line. Hi, Tammy. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, well, I guess there were a couple of points. One is that, you know, the marketplace dynamic, as I've been talking about, has changed dramatically. And if there were not an appetite for consumers to shop on Thanksgiving, as an example, mm-hmm. the retailers would not be feeding the appetite. You know, there's sort of this evil spirit out there indicating that the retailers are at blame here. And yet, the changing demographics across the country where individuals are more spread out. They may not be traveling back and forth to a familial base for the traditional holiday meal, so to speak. And, you know, they go, they eat, and then they're heading to the movies, which have been open for years on Thanksgiving, big break for the movie opening day for a lot of theaters. And now the retailers are competing for that time slot, but also the dollar. And if there weren't an appetite for consumers to consume services, then there would not be a need for the retailer to open. There wouldn't be that pressure, competitive pressure.
Thank you, Tammy. Following consumer demand, here's Dana in Killingsworth, Connecticut. Dana, welcome to the program. Hello.
Hi. Thank you. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I just wanted to, the only reason that any of these people would open is money that I can think of that anyone would open on Thanksgiving. And there was an ad, I don't remember the newspaper, from PC Richards, the appliance and electronics store, over the weekend that said that because of respect for their employees' families, and respect for the unique American day of Thanksgiving, they've decided not to open on Thanksgiving at all. And I, for one, think that's very respectable, and I think we need to fight back against all of this money, money, money-centered everything. And I'll be buying my electronics at PC Richards this year.
Dana, thank you. Good luck. And I hear a lot of listeners see them here from our Facebook page, from our website, who feel like Dana does. Here's Sarah. She says, I'll be doing my best to create memories with activities instead of buying material things. Leah says, I have never been out on Black Friday, and I never will. Back to the phones, Bill in Corbin, Kentucky. Bill, welcome to the program. Hello.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. Go ahead.
The big thing that I'm starting to see in a lot of the social media outlets, albeit Twitter or Facebook, is a call also for actually a ban on the Thursday shopping. seeing more and more people that are saying, I will not shop, I will not shop. And also kind of going back to what another one of the retailers, one of their callers said too, with retailers, that there wasn't an appetite that people wouldn't be doing this or that retailers wouldn't be doing this. My question also is going to be, by retailers doing this, aren't they kind of forcing the appetite? Because for the general consumer, if I don't now go out on Thursday, then I'm not going to get the best deals with the doorbusters and so on. I'll be losing out. So isn't it kind of force feeding the market?
Bill, thank you. Wendy Liebman, would you respond?
You know, I think there was a time when that was the case. But in reality, as we've talked about, the fact that we can get great deals online right now means that the Black Friday, doorbuster deal is not as precious and sacrosanct as it perhaps used to be. There are lots of ways to get great deals. So if you don't want to go out on, Black Friday, then or Thanksgiving Day, you can stay at home and let your proverbial fingers do the walking.
Here's Rebecca in Parsons, Kansas. Rebecca, welcome to the program. Hi.
Hello, Jane. Hi. Yeah, I echo the sentiments of Dana that I absolutely respect the companies that choose to be closed on Thanksgiving and honor that day of Thanksgiving for the nation. But primarily calling because I also echo the other caller's sentiments, or the email, I suppose. We have encouraged our family and friends when they ask for the Christmas list this year and in birthdays and other gifting times this year to consider giving gift cards to, like, the zoo, those sorts of things. The gift of time, the gift of relationship that does last throughout the year, long after those toys have been chucked to the corner. So, and I'm seeing this as a trend on social media as well. I see friends and family doing that on posting comments and articles about this on Facebook and things as well. So it may be a trend we start to see, especially since it's such a budget-friendly gift for the holidays as well.
Rebecca, thank you. Sucharita, is that a trend that you anticipate this season?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that even though there are certainly more options, and kind of virtually everybody has gift cardized their merchandise, like a lot of service businesses or kind of places that families will go, like museums or zoos. I think that that certainly expands the list of what could be perceived as a to-do. But I still think that a lot of the traditional gifts, like the toys and the clothes and the consumer electronics, still often you know, are the ones that typically win out. You know, I mean, when there is gift buying, it is often for children, and children, you know, gift buying for children is as much for the parents as it is for the kids. And, you know, if you want to see that smile on their faces, it's often, you know, the toys that generate that. And for the vast majority of other holiday shopping, a lot of it, as I'd mentioned, is for oneself. And, you know, and that's where, you know, kind of still the physical products are the ones that do tend to do the best during the holiday season.
So, Charita, we've heard a lot about big issues in the news these last few months, healthcare, home prices, how all these things are impacting the buying mentality consumers this season. How much is the U.S. economy banking on this holiday retail season?
Well, the holiday retail season, as a percent of all of retail sales, it usually ends up being disproportionately higher. It usually ends up being about 30% of all of that is spent in retail gets spent in that Q4 timeframe. And usually we've seen that number be pretty consistent, over the last several years. Retail is about $1 trillion space. And, you know, and so we're talking about several hundred billions of dollars that are at stake right now. I think that that retailers are desperate to make sure that they get their share of that pie. That's why they are, you know, breaking early and breaking hard when mm-hmm. they break their you know, kind of their freestanding inserts and their holiday specials. Because as we said, we're not growing in, you know, kind of the top line in a big way. So it really, really is a battle for wallet share and a battle to, you know, make sure that you win and your competitor doesn't take that share away from you.
Wendy Liebman, we talked a little bit about big gifts this year in the electronics category. I'm reading here about unprecedented discounts on technology. Is that what you're hearing?
Unprecedented discounts on lots of things, but yes, certainly technology, because that's the area that is, you know, as Sucharita said, one of the key areas that drives high ticket prices, not just commodity like prices. So, you know, whether it's a tablet, whether it's a game console, those kinds of things are really great value. You know, the flat screen television has become sort of the regular item now. There's lots of other things out there, and that high ticket item and the desire for something new in that field is what drives a lot of the basket, as retailers call it. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of discounts to get people, you know, off the couch and into the stores or online as quickly as they can around that category.
Here's Judy in Marblehead, Massachusetts. Hi, Judy. Glad you called. Welcome to On Point.
Thank you. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I'm calling as a contrarian.
Okay, good.
And I am asking that people not go and shop, pretty much, period. And here are my suggestions. One of my friends has a good way to do it. The adults in her family all choose a charity that they are fond of, and if you want to give a gift to that member of the family, you donate to the charity. She doesn't apply that to the children, but it certainly works at the adult level. Another thing is to, there is certainly, as one of my friends has said, you know, I can, if I buy things that perhaps come from people who are making them in some other part of the world that I can find out about, perhaps through craft catalogs or even something like 10,000 Villages, then I'm doing good in two ways. I'm buying a gift, yes, but I'm also helping people where there is great need. Mm. And the third thing is, if you still feel like you need to buy a gift from American or Chinese or whatever companies, first take a look at a website called betterworldshopper.org, which has done a wonderful job of checking into companies for the issues that they are involved in, including human rights, the environment, animal protection, community involvement, and social justice.
All those important things. Judy, thank you. For time's sake, I'm going to cut you off, but I appreciate your call and some of those wise words. Maria's in Boston. Maria, welcome to On Point. Hello.
Hi, Jean.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that
I'm an expert shopper and a comparative shopper, and I've been in the retail field for 10 years, and I've seen the economy go up and down quite a bit. And I just like what Judy said for Marblehead. I think that's great. I was going to say something kind of like that, that I think that everyone that can afford to do it, even if you have $20, should try to help, whether it's the Salvation Army or any child's charities, because a lot of people don't realize how, how much families are still struggling with the economy. And in some ways, the economy is better with housing and so on. But I know a lot of families, hundreds of families that aren't making it day to day just to eat or get daily necessities on the table.
I hear you. I hear you, Maria, and I really appreciate your call. Be careful of consumerism, commercialism, and remember many are still struggling mightily out there. Maria, I'm glad you called to remind us of that at this hour. Wendy Liebman, top us off here and give us your sense of what this season's going to be like and what we're going to be looking at 2013 holiday shopping.
You know, as you said earlier in the piece, it's begun very early. It's going to be very aggressive in terms of pricing. If you've got a list of shoppers, this is a great season to get great prices on big ticket items in particular. I think that the retailers are very concerned, as some of the others have said, in terms of what this season will really look like in the end. There's a great deal of caution coming out from a lot of the predictions. And as the last caller said, you know, there are an awful lot of people in this country who are still struggling. So people can't necessarily just get out there and spend the types of money they have been spending over the holidays. So I think it's going to be a struggle of a season, but lots of great deals for shoppers who've got some ready cash.
Suchari, Rita, in 10 seconds, what would you add?
That the web can be your friend if you are looking to economize and get the most from your dollars.
Sucharita Malpuru and Wendy Liebman, my thanks to both of you for an interesting hour. Callers as well, we always appreciate hearing from you. You can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Coming up tomorrow, the great Flannery O'Connor. A newly discovered book gives a rare glimpse of this deeply Catholic writer and the artist as a young woman. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.